Tonight, you'll be glad to know we're going to finish this handout. We are on step 6 and 7. We have a couple new people. I want to welcome you. This meeting's a little bit different. We study the book in detail. The 6 and 7 step is on page 75, and there's only 2 paragraphs. These are probably the most important steps for me. Some people say that's the pinnacle of the program. We're not going to read 75, so you don't need to open your book, but we're going to look at the handout, and we are on page 98, I think.
Real quick, Shane Alcoholic, I want to pass the basket around with the cards. If you want to donate to the 1100 Club party, you can do that as it goes around. Thanks.
Thanks, Shane.
Yeah, it's not the 1100 Club party, it's Experience the Big Book. So don't put 1100 in there, people get confused. Sorry if you're listening to podcasts, this is AA, serious business. We're having our 9th annual celebration, we're going to have a dinner. Yeah, there you go. Couple things, this book, The Steps We Took, you can get on Amazon. The Joe who wrote this is the original Joe with Joe and Charlie. And Joe and Charlie, I think, really made the Big Book come alive in the late 70s. They started doing their meetings. Our site, experiencethebigbook.org, is dedicated to Joe and Charlie. They changed my life. And so Joe outlines in these pages really how to do 6 and 7 incorporated into my life. Now, if you're new here, you're saying, well, gee, what is 6 and 7 going to do to help me today? Well, step 6 and 7 is really changing my personality. If I don't change my personality, the way I think each moment, then my actions are going to be the same as they always were. And how did my actions look when I got in here? They weren't good, and they were the result of my thinking, and it's the result of my personality. And my personality was made up of my character defects. I didn't pass out all the cards. Everybody's had these before. If somebody wants one of these, we give them out. But this is the spiritual checklist. It's on the resources of recovery on the site. Actually, Patty did a lot of, she put all those PDFs in there, and there's some really great stuff if you want to do the steps and work with somebody. They're inventory handouts. They're inventory handouts. You can get the spiritual checklist on that site. It shows the left and right hand side, and we're trying to change the way we are. Because if I continue to be selfish, self-centered, judgmental, intolerant, inconsiderate, selfish, dishonest, fearful, nothing's going to change. And so step 6 and 7 is where I recognize those things in steps 4 and 5, and that's why my life was unmanageable. And then I didn't like the way I felt, and then I would drink. And so if I don't change the way I react to situations, nothing's going to change. So step 6 is where I'm willing to let go of my character defects that I've identified in 4 and 5. And 7 is where I humbly ask God to do that. Now, that sounds like you do it one time and you're okay, but that's not. It's a step that you practice. And so we're going to look on pages 98. It's the one with the fear and the courage. Everybody at the same spot. Jimmy B., you got it?
Yep.
Good. Okay, guys. And our shortcomings, it says it made a list of our shortcomings, and it may humbly ask them to remove our character defects. Our shortcomings are removed based on what I want to let go of. If I want to let go of fear, courage is going to come into my life. Anybody have fear?
Yes.
Anybody have a lot of fear? We all do. And I have had a lot when I came in, a lot less now, because I recognize it right away. And I do the prayer to be free of fear. God, remove my fear and direct my attention how I should be. And then I have courage to be the person God created. And it's if I don't practice resentments, I'm going to see love. Anybody have resentments? Anybody get angry today? A little bit? If you got angry today, you were in self and you were in resentment. And you weren't bringing love into that situation. So how'd that work for you when you're angry today? You see, we don't feel good. And then I may take actions if I'm angry, and the result may cause me harm others and harm myself. If I'm going to see love, tolerance, patience, and understanding of goodwill coming into my life, if I'm not going to practice the opposite. We practice those things and see our relationships with people grow. So you can really take this card, take it with you to work. I don't have the card, so I'll get some more. But we have that card. You can take it to work, and you can look at it all day long if you're getting bothered. And say, I don't want to be this way. I want to stop and practice the opposite. If I stop and say, God, I don't want to be this way, remove it, the other way will come in. The opposite feeling automatically comes in, I guarantee you. It says, these changes will come about. We'll see the awesome power that lies within these forces. We can accomplish those things each day that we could never do before. Anybody remember the promises we read at the end of step 9? We suddenly realize that God is doing with us what we could not do for ourselves, for us. Well, I realize that every day when I stop being angry and I ask God to remove my anger and help me be kind and loving, that's a spiritual awakening for me. I didn't used to do that. I didn't pause and I didn't change the way I saw things and then I'd act on it. And so when I do that now, I say, it's like an aha moment, you know? I begin to judge somebody and I say, no, we're all God's kids. How can I be considerate? Change the way I see them, and I don't have to go down that whole lane, that whole road. And it says, the big book says we can go places and do things that we never could before. The big book says we have tapped an inner source of strength, and this is power. It's that inner source that makes me aware of my character defects, and when I let go, removes them. And so it's a tremendous gift. You know, here's what a shortcoming is, and they show you this little chart. When I'm long on resentments, then I'm short on love, tolerance, and patience. And then when I have a lot of short on resentments, I had a lot of love, tolerance, and patience. And so each day, each moment, I can see, where am I? Where am I in this spectrum? And you know how I know when I'm on the wrong side, I don't feel good, or I'm seeing things that bother me. Now, if you're new, you may not be bothered by your anger or your fear before. You may have acted through it and thought that's what you needed. But when you've done this a while and you've done your steps, you realize that anger and fear is not just separates me from God. So you recognize it right away. And it's like a sliding scale. He says you're supposed to have some resentments. I don't know. It says it makes you competitive. Joe and Charlie looked the point that Charlie says that he really hated the guy across the street because his yard was so beautiful. And of course, Charlie's yard was shit. So then Charlie made a decision one day that he was gonna clean up his yard. So he said he could use resentments for a positive thing. But in general, the self-centered resentments we get are very destructive. And he talks about if you have too much resentment, you can't express the real powers. Now, the book says that when we have resentment, we're separated from God. And it also says resentment's gonna kill me. Anybody believe that? It kills you spiritually. It separates you from God, and then you have no power in your life. And if you have resentments long enough, you will drink again. And it says some people don't really see love in themselves. It's there, but it seems non-existent because it hasn't been expressed in the personality. And so he says, just what is love? Love is basically a concern for another person's welfare, my own welfare. And all of us are designed to have the ability to be concerned about ourselves and about each other. God put it in every person. Without our ability to be concerned with each other, the human race would not exist. We couldn't have families, neighborhoods, states, or nation. He says love is a bond that's natural. And he's not talking about the male-female relationship. He says it's what bonds people together. When a person does not have this ability to bond with others, then he's not fitting into the family, he's not fitting into relationships, he's not fitting into society in general. Remember, the big book says, when I lived a life run on self-will, I was in conflict with everybody and everybody. Everything. Anybody relate to that? And like if you come to AA, I don't know if you can feel it tonight, but I could. You can feel the love that we all have for each other in this room. And that's why AA becomes a very safe place. And that's why people like Robert said, they kept coming back to the meetings. And then you feel a bond in here. And then you feel the power, the love of the group. And then you feel the desire to seek God and do the steps, and then you change. But if you're into self, you always feel out of place. Did anybody do that? Did anybody feel like, I remember in junior high, you know, I always felt out of place at the dances. They're always over there, and I'm always on this side. I don't know if any of you ever had that. You just don't feel a part of. Well, that's the separation we have from God. That's not feeling and not being okay. And did anybody have that, try to fix it? Now, before I drank, I thought I could fix it by managing the world well so that everything would be okay, so that I'd be okay in the view of other people and I get approval. So I set out plans to do that. I remember when I was in elementary school. How was I going to get approval? And then when we drank, we had that feeling go away. Anybody relate to that? And then we felt okay. Alcohol did something for us we could not do for ourselves. And so he says, love is a powerful force for healing. And if I didn't love myself just being Michael, just being good enough, and I had to fix the world to feel okay, and I had to get love through how other people saw me or things, then I was separated from God, and I couldn't have true love of self. And so he's going to talk about that. He says, Gandhi said, love is the only thing that could turn an enemy into a friend. And he talks about here, you know, bombs and weapons are not going to, you'll never make friends with that, but you can with love. And it says, sometimes a person will say, well, I don't have these positive forces in me. They're so blocked, but deep down inside, we do have them. Remember, we read it today at the noon meeting, the fundamental idea of God is inside all of us, right? We all have this, but we blocked it out through worship of other things. It says, they're so blocked, but deep inside we have them. As we begin to practice these new positive traits, love, patience, tolerance, we begin to see the value of them, and we have true concern for other people, guess what? We feel better. And when I have a positive self-esteem, then I can love myself. And when we come in here, we have a false sense of self. And that sense of self is because we never feel good enough. And so we've created this false sense to have us the way we see the world so we'd be okay. And it didn't help us at all. We were threatened all the time. And so it says, I ask a lot of people come into the program selfish, self-centered, and messed up with their character defects. How concerned have you been for your own life for the last couple years? And are you okay just being yourself, I wrote? Or did we go out each day to get things for ourselves to make ourselves feel better? We need to learn the wisdom of love your neighbor as yourself. If you're not concerned about your own life, you can't be concerned about your neighbor, simply because concern is not there. And self-love, the person God created, is enough. And then you have positive self-esteem. And then you're doing things for others out of love, not what you can get out of it. I always thought I was trying to be good for everybody, but I was just a people pleaser. Anybody else like that? And I do something. Joe and Charlie said the only time they ever did anything good for somebody without wanting something was by mistake. And if you think about it, it's probably true when you come in here. But love is a two-way street. It has to be given and received. And I think the more love you bring into each relationship, into each moment of your life, the more love you'll get back. And if I bring hatred, intolerance, love, hatred, intolerance, fear, I'm going to get back the same. And I think we saw that in this weekend in Virginia. And it says, we really need to consider the power of giving up. Sandy Beach says the whole program is, what am I going to let go of right now? And we can ask ourselves in a certain situation, what it is that I have to give up? We're always looking at what we're going to get. You see, I was looking at the world, what am I going to get out of everything? Instead of now, I look at what do I have to give up so I'm not at a barrier with the world. And it says, I give up self and I get God. I wrote that. And remember, relieve me of the bondage of self. And what happens if I'm relieved of the bondage of self? I have conscious contact with God. It says we should look for what we're going to give up and be able to spot that right away. Now, in the beginning, this all may seem theoretical, but just if you're disturbed tomorrow, stop and say, which character defect is bothering me? Am I being judgmental? Am I being self-centered, dishonest, inconsiderate, fearful, intolerant, envy? And then you say, I can stop right now. And I just say, how would God want me to see this? God wants me to see it through love, patience, tolerance. Remember on page 84, it says, love and tolerance of others is our code of living. It says in page 83, before the promises, says, we pray every morning and ask for God to show us how to have love, patience, kindness, tolerance with our family. So here he says, here's how it works. When you get rid of a character defect, you have overcome a shortcoming. It's practically automatic. By nature's law, there's a void. So if I say, I don't want to be fearful right now, I'm going to let go of that, God will give me courage. if I say I'm going to let go of anger right now and judgment, and God help me see it with love, you will change. It's guaranteed. He says there's no void. God won't let you have a void in your, you'll either have one or the other. You're going to have anger or you're going to have love. Fear is going to be replaced by courage, resentments with love, tolerance, patience, and understanding, goodwill towards others. When you let go of one, it's not going to leave a hole, a blank spot. This positive thing will be there to take its place. And actually what you're doing is, the person God created is not the person I created in my mind when I got in here. And when I practice 6 and 7, I'm letting the characteristics of God that are inside of me come out. And that's such a gift, and it's such a blessing to be able to react differently in a positive way in all situations. But there are times when you see yourself doing it, you don't let go. Well, then you get disturbed, and then things don't go well. And it says at night, and when we inventory night, we look for, during the day, where we were selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, afraid, right? And then we look and see how being back in the self, how it separated us and it caused us to be harmed. He says the process is sometimes frightening. It is, but it's a process that you practice. The more you practice the 6 and 7, the easier it is. And you'll start to see yourself getting a negative thought, and you'll just stop and say, you know, I don't need to go there. I don't have to have that negative thought. He talks about this rocking chair he had in his office when he bought the building. It was this old rocking chair. It was a terrible, horrible-looking mess. Painted black, runs, messed out. He decided on keeping, thinking maybe one day he would put it together. Quite a few years went by, and it just sat in the attic. Several times, some of the guys tempted me to throw it away. In fact, I'd find it around by the dumpster, and I'd bring it back, saying I was going to look at it one of these days. So finally, I got this old rocking chair out of the attic and into the light downstairs so I could really see it. And I began to look at it, and I saw that it was a really fine chair. I got some paint stripper, and I began to strip it away. And he found solid oak. He took the old raggedy bottom, been covered over many times with cloth and tacks, tore it off and threw it away. There was one broken rung, and I made an identical one by bending one and putting it there. Sanded, refinished the chair. Finally, I took it to the upholstery shop. I asked the man there how much it would cost to put a nice white velvet bottom in it. He looked at it and said, I'll be glad to put it in there, but before I fix it, I'll give you $350 for that chair. That beautiful value chair was always there. It was there all the time. It was simply covered up. See, I was a beautiful chair that looked a mess when I came in here. And the more I've done the steps, I can see the chair that God made, and not the one that I made. And if I practice 6 and 7, that chair will look good most of the day. And that's the way I am and you are, and with God's life inside of us. God made us this way, beautiful and valuable. Like the rocking chair over a period of years, I covered myself up with all sorts of things that made a big mess. And the steps are designed for me to uncover, discover, and discard all that in me that wasn't God's creation. You see how this works? And it's not a program getting rid of things to get, it's a program of getting rid of things to get down to what we want. I don't get anything in the program. It's a program of getting rid of things, uncovering, discovering, discarding. That's that famous Chuck C. in A New Pair of Glasses. He says, we uncover, discover, and discard all those things that isn't the real me. And remember, Michelangelo created the David statue, and it's this magnificent 24-foot statue. They said, Michelangelo, how did you make David? He said, I just took away everything in the statue that wasn't David. And Sandy Beach, who, you know, he was such a great, powerful carrier of the message. He gave a talk at Akron at the anniversary. And he said the greatest gift he got in AA was that he could see the real me. He could see the person God had created. And after you peel away all the other stuff. So 6 and 7 is where we're trying to not let the crap get back on us. And we kind of peel it away all day long. We want to let go and ask God to peel it away and remove it. And he says, I believe this, that deep down inside everyone is the fundamental idea of God. We might have covered it up, but it's there. Regardless of what we see in the most horrible individual, down underneath, he still has the qualities of God to live by. He may not be using them, and we may punish him for his actions, but he's created with these things, these God qualities, each and every one of us. And step 4 is just the beginning of the process to look at our thinking and see how our thinking was wrong And our resentments and our fears and our harms and our conduct was the result of our self-centeredness and the character defects getting triggered. And then we can look at it and we can see that we don't have to be that person anymore. And so we use the information from that in steps 6 and 7. It says we don't have to look for these qualities. All we have to do is convince ourselves that they're already there. And I like this. Our personalities are just like gold. You have to really dig to get it. That's why it's of value. So 6 and 7 is work, but it's fun work because it's work that you can see immediate results. If gold could be found all over the streets, everybody could get all they wanted. That might be great, but then gold wouldn't have any value. There would be too much of it and it would be too easily found. It's the same way with life. It may take a lot of digging, scraping, and a lot of minding. That's what we're doing in steps 6 and 7. But remember, we're mining for gold, our innermost selves. That's what's fascinating about steps 6 and 7, this looking into ourselves and going after our own gold. Now, when you come in here, you can't see that. All you can see is what's out there and the things that you thought brought you to be harmed. And you couldn't see that it was inside of you and the way you lived and thought that brought you the harm. And so if you do the steps, you work back and you can see the character defects that you created with your self-centeredness, and then you want to be rid of them. Of course, this gold mining we're talking about is a lifetime task. But whatever our immediate problem is, compulsion or addiction, we can be surprised at the progress we make in a few months. We may have a change sufficient to recover in 100 days. And remember, the spiritual awakening is called a personality change sufficient to recover from alcoholism. And we can change our personality with the steps. We don't have to be the person we were. And then if we're not that way, people see us differently, they'll react to us differently, and our relationships will be better. He writes, the first early changes get us on the road, but put us inside of the grow to grow spiritually. I'm going to go down to patience is accepting God's timing in life. Just watching the news, and everybody in New York is mad because they're fixing Union Station. None of the trains are on time. And the guy who's in charge of the project says people need patience. And the person says, well, I don't need patience. I need to get to work. And so you see patience, it's a tough thing. But this point, there's a timing. And that's, he's talking about self-centered goals versus true patience. Understanding God's plan for us. Patience is the ability to allow the time for things to work. So a lot of times we'll get fear and we're managing areas in our lives and we're upset because we're not getting something we think we need. But we don't have the patience to see that God has a time for everything. And we don't have the whole plan. So the patience has to come with us changing the way we see it. The individual has to fit into the timing. Patience is the ability to fit into the timing of life. He says, if I don't fit into the timing of life, then I'm going to get frustration and irritating. Anybody relate to that? Simply because we're not letting life happen, we're trying to let life happen on time, which you never will, so we're back to our self-centeredness. He says, on the next day, we may have to get up every day and have plans. Anybody have plans for the day? Remember in the big book, it says when you wake up, you think of your plans for the day, right? And it says, before you begin, we ask God to direct my thinking, divorcing it from selfish, dishonored, self-centered thinking. So every morning before I get out of bed, I start thinking about my plans, and then I say that prayer, God, please direct my thinking, divorcing it from selfish, dishonest, self-seeking motives. And then I can think of my plans for the day, because then I'm thinking of the plans with positive motives. He writes here that our plans have to be open to change. We have to be able to adjust throughout the day and let things happen. Now that's the serenity prayer that Robert talked about, right? We have to ask God for the serenity to look at things, to accept things that we can't change, and change the things we can. On the next page, he says, here are how 6 and 7 most often happen. We go through a period of time when we ask, what's wrong with me? We get so much new self-awareness, awareness of our character defects. As we see things that we want to change and work against these things, we will see the personality change begin to take place. We have different responses to situations. This is the key to our growth. We realize we can't change the situation or other people, but we can change our response to it. Now, this is the whole deal. If I'm practicing 6 and 7, and I'm living with a conscious contact with God, then I'm going to react differently to life than I did before. And if I'm having a negative reaction to something in my life today, it's because I'm not in fit spiritual condition. And when I'm not in fit spiritual condition, I'm back in self, and one of these character defects are coming into play. It's just not that complicated. And I'm going to finish up on the next page. He says, remember, we never know the value of something until we put it into our stock and trade, like a businessman. Now remember, on the fourth step on page 64, when he's looking at the fourth step, it says we're going to take a personal inventory. We just read it tonight, right, Renee? And it says we're going to look at our personal inventory, we're going to look at the shelves, and look at our stock and trade. And we want to see what I've been holding in my shelf, which is my mind, that's been harming me. And I have to be willing to let go of it. And he says, like a businessman, if I'm selling shoddy goods, I'll never know how many customers we would have had if he put something really good in it. And he may never know what a truly successful business is. And so all of us are different people. No two of us have the same desires and motivations. We will always be individual personalities. No two of us start from the same place. No two of us are going to end up in the same place. I think along the road, each one of us will fashion a much better life with the tools of change the program gives us. So we all have the tools of change. Some of us are going to, it'll look different in each person, but they're the same tools. Change is the name of the game. Somebody says, if I don't change, my sobriety date will. Well, I think the worst thing that could happen is to come in the AA, stay sober, and not change, and not work the steps. And somebody says, alcoholics never kill themselves when they're drunk. They can kill themselves when they're sober. Now, they may die from accidents, but I don't know if that's true. But somebody makes it that sober without God, with my old personality, is a very unpleasant way to live. And so he says, as God reveals things to us, we can make changes. And how does God reveal things to me? Well, I don't feel good. I see something and I don't like the way I see. I'm disturbed. And God, it says God disciplines us in this fashion at the end of page 88, when we end the 11th step. We get disciplined because we don't feel good when we're back at self. And then we recognize it, and then we seek God, and we change. And it says we continue to grow and grow forever. Remember, we never stop. We can give up and grow, give up and grow. This is unending. And so it's, I think if you look back, if you're doing the deal, you're probably different than you were 5 years ago or even last year. So I hope people have gotten a lot out of 6 and 7. I think I've done 4 meetings on it. It's changed my life. And a lot of people carry the card around and have it on their desk. And I had it on my desk, and some days it would be covered up, and I'd have to uncover it and say, you know, I got to change. And so with the one last thing is, it says on page, I think it's 87, it says when we're agitated or doubtful, when I have fear, I have anger, when I'm irritated, when I'm in thoughts or emotions and they're aggravating me, it says I have to pause and ask God for the right thought or action. And then he says we're much less danger of anger, foolish decisions, and burning up energy as we foolishly try to arrange our life. So the 6 and 7 is whenever I know I'm irritated or doubtful, I have to pause and say, God, help me see the way I am and change me right now. And if I do that, my days are good. And if I don't, who's the one who made the choice? Not God, but me. So I hope you'll find this information helpful.